Welcome to this edition of Pick of the Month. Today we'll be taking another chance to hear some of the highlights of Radio Prague in September. Again, it's a real mixed bag this month, ranging from neo-Nazis and Czech football, to an enfant terrible of the Czech art world, to the superabundance of beauty competitions in the Czech Republic today. But we start with a book documenting hundreds of pieces of art stolen by the Nazis, which are on show at Prague's Museum of Applied Arts. The book, entitled Navrat paměti, or Bringing Back Memory, acquaints us with the often tragic stories of the art's original Jewish owners. In Czech books, David Vaughan discussed its publication with the president of the Federation of Jewish Communities in the Czech Republic, Tomáš Kraus.
It is an outcome of a joint effort of our federation and the Czech government. In late 90s, there was an effort internationally, which I think we can say that was started here in Prague, to find out what we now call the Holocaust era assets. And a very important part of these assets is art collections. We have established a joint commission together with the government, and one of the outcomes of the commission is to research the archives and to research also the museums, because until now we were not quite sure what part of the collections in not only Arts and Crafts Museum in Prague, but all museums and galleries around the country are having the former Jewish property, which has been confiscated during the Nazi time and which in many cases was never returned.
This begs the question, one of the original impulses was the idea of returning property to people who had it confiscated or to their heirs. In practice, that's proved very difficult, hasn't it?
It is very difficult because the main obstacle is that there are no heirs. It goes hand in hand with the legislation which was adopted by the Czech parliament, and the legislation is enabling the return, but only to those heirs in direct heritage line, which is also a little of a complication.
So that means children and grandchildren.
Exactly. Another problem is that there was a lack of documentation. So even people who might have survived, this would be a third or second generation, if they would have claimed, they even don't know that they could. So the very important part of it is to spread around the information of these possibilities.
Tomáš Kraus, the head of the Federation of Jewish Communities in the Czech Republic. Unfortunately, the Nazi ideology isn't completely consigned to the dustbin of history, and one edition of Panorama in September looked at the problem of neo-Nazi football fans in the Czech Republic. The issue has been in the news recently after a Sparta Prague player made a Sieg Heil gesture to fans during a game. The Czech First Division club must have a number of foreign players. Jan Richter asked their English midfielder, Byron Webster, who himself is white, if he had seen evidence of racism.
No, not me personally, but some of the other players must have. When we was warming up at Ostrava and Olomouc, a few of the fans were doing the monkey chants and saying racist things, which it wasn't all the fans, it was just a small minority of the fans that were doing the chants.
But it doesn't stop with monkey chants. Some hardcore football hooligans supporting Sparta Prague have on several occasions chanted Jude Slavia, labelling their biggest rival, Slavia Prague, Jewish. This made František Báňaj, the head of the Prague Jewish community, and Leo Pavlát, the director of the Prague Jewish Museum, send an open letter to the Sparta management asking them to prevent their fans from doing so. Leo Pavlát explains.
Before the match with the British club from London, with Arsenal, Sparta fans were on about manifestation of racism during matches, and it was said that authors of such manifestation can be identified and held responsible. So after chanting a German word for Jew, Jude, it was, we thought that it would be appropriate to approach Sparta and ask them to fulfill their promises.
All those concerned agree that it is a minority of football fans who cause these kinds of problems. While the number of visitors to football stadia in the Czech Republic is rising, Marek Suchánek of the Czech Interior Ministry estimates the number of the real hardliners among football fans to be about 200 to 300. Moreover, Mr. Suchánek claims that the situation has been improving.
In my opinion, the situation is getting better. There are not as many violent incidents as before, especially as in the early 1990s. Several preventative activities have started based on the models from the UK and Germany. As far as violence among spectators is concerned, I can generally say that the situation in the Czech Republic is not as bad as in some Eastern European countries or in former Eastern Germany.
The situation might be improving, but that does not mean the problem of racism and anti-Semitism should not be addressed and stopped. In the game between Viktoria Žižkov and Sparta, the main referee interrupted the match in the 13th minute upon hearing Sparta fans shouting Yugoslavia once again. Leo Pavlát says the police should act immediately without any other incentives.
Look, chanting Jude is just manifestation of racism which has nothing to do with Slavia or anybody else. This is a matter of fact that part of the Spartak fans are right-wing extremists who hate Jews, who are anti-Semites, and they show it.
Leo Pavlát, ending that excerpt from that report by Jan Richter. Moving on to the world of art, and the Czech artist and curator Krzysztof Kintera has been compared to Britain's Damien Shark in formaldehyde Hearst. Indeed, one of Kintera's sculptures features an electric carving knife having sex with a melon. In one-on-one, Colleen O'Connor asked the artist if it meant something, or was it just nonsense?
Well, of course it's nonsense, but on the other hand, you know, I think good art has always a lot of different layers and levels, how to read it, how to understand it. And of course I can always try to give an explanation by using language, but I do it very often, but I also don't like to do it, because then I sort of like giving manual to people, and I think people also can read things without this manual. Of course, about this piece, I can say a lot of things. It is about all this bizarreness of using household tools, which, you know, already the electric knife is and a piece of art. You know, it's so much bizarre, and you don't really need it. It's just an electric knife. So I was trying to push this absurdity even further, that this electric knife is really having wild sex with a watermelon.
Can I ask you, who buys your art? Once you sell art, do you just let it go, or are you interested in what happens once it comes out of your hands?
Yeah, it's a good question. Of course, partly I am interested, but on the other hand, it happens that I really don't know. Any more time it happens that I don't know exactly where the piece goes. Most of the time I'm happy when it goes to institutions like museums, because when it is in the museum, then you can be sure that it will get the feedback from a lot of people, because it's just exposed. But sometimes it ends up in a private collections, and I don't really know if it's just if it is a decoration in some living room when there is this pool table, or, you know, so I don't have any guarantee that the piece is really in a context I would like to have it, you know. So this is tricky.
The artist Krzysztof Kintera. Finally today, the years since the fall of communism have seen an absolute explosion in beauty pageants here in the Czech Republic, with too many Miss competitions to count. In Panorama, Rosie Johnston investigated the phenomenon, speaking to, among others, the owner of the Miss Czech Republic contest, Miroslav Zapletal.
Miss competitions aren't too popular in a whole lot of other countries because they've been running for more than 50 years, so they've kind of passed their best there. But Miss competitions were banned here under communism. We managed to set them up here eventually, and next year Miss České republiky will be celebrating its 20th birthday. Maybe for this reason the contest is really very popular here, unlike in Scotland, England, France and Italy.
Je dosud velmi oblíbená a populární.
Tatiana Kuchářová won this contest back in 2006. She subsequently went on to become Miss World. She disagrees with Miloslav Zapletal, attributing the popularity of such competitions to the reputation they've built up here.
I think it's because this competition has very long, long history. This year it will be the 20th Miss Czech Republic. And we have a few very, very successful contestants in the past. For example, Alena Šeredová, she was the first girl in the Miss World. And Monika Žítková, she was Miss Europe in 1995. So I think this is why it's so most popular here.
This all sounds very rosy. So is this really the golden age of the Miss pageant here in the Czech Republic? I asked Miloslav Zapletal.
My jsme, dejme tomu, v uplynulých, nebo před třemi roky jsme prožili drobnou krizi.
3 years ago we underwent a slight crisis when a rival Miss contest was set up in competition. In my opinion, this was a bit of a blow. But in the course of the last couple of years we've stabilized ourselves a bit. We don't have any problems finding sponsors. We don't have any problems with the staging of the event. So I would say we're experiencing a second golden age. We are even in talks with the organizers of these international Miss competitions, Miss International, Miss World and so on, about staging some of these events here. It looks promising.
That's all for this edition of Pick of the Month. But I'd like to remind you that, as with everything you've heard today, that report on beauty pageants can be heard and read in full at our website radio.cz.